farthest, the most hidden, the most shadowed reaches of the plain, carrying his call for an assembly of the peoples, the parliament of the 40-odd sentient species inhabiting that most bizarre part of the world. Old Father Tree could not move himself, nor could he project his own power beyond certain limits. But he did have the capacity to fling out legates and janissaries in his stead. Chapter 17. The old man could barely keep himself upright in the saddle when he reached Lourdes. His life had been sedentary. He had nothing but will and the black arts with which to sustain himself against the hazards of travel and his own physical limits. His will and skill were substantial, but neither was inexhaustible nor indefatigable. He learned that he was just 5 days behind his quarry now. The White Rose and her party were in no hurry, and were having no trouble getting around the Imperial authorities. For all his desperation, he took 2 days off to rest. It was an investment of time he was sure would pay dividends down the road. When he left Lourdes, he did so with a horse and pack mule, selected for stamina and durability, not for speed and beauty. The long, far leg of the next stage would take him through the Windy Country, a land with a bad reputation. He did not want to linger there. As he passed through ever smaller, meaner, and more widely separated hamlets, approaching the Windy Country, he learned that he was gaining ground rapidly. If closing the gap by 4 days in as many weeks could be called rapid. He entered the uninhabited land with little optimism for a quick success. There were no regular fixed tracks through the Windy Country, which even the Empire shunned as worthless. He would have to slow down and use his talent to find the trail. Or would he? He knew where they were headed. Why worry about where they were now? Why not forget that and just head for the place where they would leave the Windy Country? If he kept pushing, he might get there before they did. He was 3/4 of the way across the desolation, into the worst badlands, a maze of barren and wildly eroded stone. He had made his camp and had fed himself and had lain back to watch the stars come out. Usually it took him only moments to fall asleep, but tonight something kept nagging at the edge of his consciousness. It took him a while to figure out what it was. For the first time since entering the Windy Country, he was not alone within that circle of awareness, open to the unconscious scrutiny of his mystic sensibilities. There was a party somewhere about a mile east of him. And something else was moving in the night, something huge and dangerous and alien that cruised the upper airs, hunting. He extended his probing mind eastward, cautiously. Them! The quarry! And alert, troubled as he was, certain something was about to happen. He withdrew immediately, began breaking camp. He muttered all the while, cursing the aches and infirmities that were with him always. He kept probing the night for that hunting presence.